the tone of the passage. If I were to read it from the NIV, it would sound much less harsh than it does in the English Standard Version. If I read it from the New Revised Standard Version, it would feel almost as harsh, but also more academic. There is a lot of place where this cannot be as harsh or can be harsher depending on who translated it and what their goal was. This is also my fair warning that the language you hear in the passage, you're also going to hear in the sermon. So again, buckle up. The word of the Lord, and I'm going to stop at verse 9, just so you understand. The word of the Lord came to Hosea, son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, "Call his name Jezreel, for in just a little while I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. And on that day, I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." Gomer conceived again and bore a daughter. And the Lord said to Hosea, "Call her name No Mercy, for I will no more have mercy on the house of Israel to forgive them at all. But I will have mercy on the house of Judah, and I will save them by the Lord their God. I will not save them by bow or by sword or by war or by horses or by horsemen." When she had weaned No Mercy, she conceived and bore a son. And the Lord said, "Call his name Not My People, for you are not my people, and I am not your God." As I read this passage, I hear God saying, "I view you, my chosen people, the same way that you view Gomer and all other sex workers." I hear a societal condemnation of Gomer and those like her, but I do not necessarily hear God condemn Gomer herself, because I doubt Gomer chose to live as a sex worker. Most sex workers end up there as a means of survival, or worse, a form of slavery, not as a means to riches and power. I find myself baffled as I read this passage because I see a way to prevent it all. I believe, had the chosen people of God, the people God chose, treated their weakest and most vulnerable as God treated them in their most vulnerable slate, as slaves in Egypt, and rescued the lowest of the low instead of dehumanizing them, Hosea would not have had a ministry. Had they not forgotten and/or ignored the God who led them from slavery to prosperity, from a vulnerable and enslaved people to a conquering people, then God would have had no reason to call them a people of whoredom. I hear God saying, "You are not like Gomer, doing what she must to survive. Instead, you are exactly what you condemn her as when you call her whore." The chosen people chose to worship other gods. They chose to sell the most intimate parts of themselves, their souls, and their very beings for a God constructed of gold and personal power. They gave their most intimate parts not to the God that saved them, but to a God that promised fertility and growth if they simply took advantage of the sex workers at pagan temples. They sold their very beings and their relationship with the God who saved them to take advantage of the most vulnerable for their own gain. And they saw those most vulnerable people as nothing more than contemptible whores. I hear God mirroring the actions of the chosen people as God names the children of Gomer. I want to talk about that second child, Lo Ruhamah in Hebrew. No compassion or no mercy or no pity or no love. Do you think that these chosen people had the slightest bit of compassion for a person such as Gomer? Do you think that they could mercifully see her as a human more than just a whore, more than just an object to use and discard? Do you think they had any pity for the life that led her to that point? For the life that forced her into sexual service at a temple? Do you think that they could love her as a human? No. No, they could not. And I know this because we have not changed a whole lot in a few thousand years. We make jokes in HBO shows about sex work. We arrest trafficked sex slaves. And we feel righteous when we make laws that do not curb human trafficking and only hurt the workers themselves. We earn the name Lo Ruhamah, the name No Compassion. We earn that name for ourselves as we harm the most vulnerable and make it impossible for them to go to the police. That third child, Lo Ami in Hebrew, not my people. God is the God of the oppressed, the God of the vulnerable, the God of the marginalized, the God of the outsider. The entire Bible speaks to God caring for the oppressed. Again, like the chosen people enslaved in Egypt, and speaks to God punishing those who possess power that use it for anything other than helping the least and the lowest. No one in this sanctuary lacks compassion for the victims of sex trafficking. But do you ever consider how other sex workers get into the work? Or what happens to the trafficking victims once their casters cast them aside? Do you ever think, if we had a system that actually supported the poorest of the poor, a system that heavily funded counseling and job training for those stuck in sex work, a system that heavily funded drug rehabilitation and stopped condemning alternative drugs that allow addicts to leave the street and contribute to society, if we had a society that stopped getting indignant about saving overdose victims and preventing the spread of HIV amongst addicts, or a society that saw people in these horrific situations as people and not as subhuman trash, that maybe they could be our people and not just the others. And that is how we worship the God of Scriptures. And that is how we be God's people. Or do we think we should continue to look down upon them and judge them as less than us? Or do we think we should continue to enrich ourselves off systems that beat them down? This should make you nervous and possibly scare you. It should scare you that the idea of humanizing a sex worker and talking about her as a person, as good and as holy as you or I, makes you squirm in your seat and want to leave. It should worry you that I started to call out an economic system that probably enriched you by keeping oppressed people oppressed. It should make you uncomfortable. Think about who suffers to enrich you. Who suffers so you can build your wealth and investment portfolio? What God do you sell your most intimate parts to so you can enrich yourself? What God do others have to sell themselves to so you can collect your gold to build your calf? Who is your God? Do you worship the God of this book, the God of sacrifice and giving, the God of the oppressed and the broken? Or do you worship a God of earthly riches and prosperity as a reward for faith? Do you worship the God of the oppressed that threatened the powerful enough to suffer crucifixion? Or do you worship a God of oppression that enriches the powerful through the pain of the vulnerable? Do you worship the God that walked the chosen people out of slavery? Or do you worship a God of cheap goods made in sweatshops and full-time jobs that do not provide enough income to climb above the already laughable poverty line? Do you worship the God that sees Gomer as beloved, or a God who casts her aside as a contemptible whore? Who is your God? Now, in our brokenness,